very good morning to you. David Sheehan with you here on Horizons. On the programme this week, we talk about the synod happening in Rome, parish pastoral councils and their importance in communities, as well as our new lay pastoral leaders. First up, Gráinne has the news.
I'm Gráinne Quirk, and this is news from around the diocese. Today is World Mission Sunday. It is the Pope's annual appeal to support missionaries. This year's theme is Go and Invite Everyone to the Banquet. A collection will be taken up after communion at all Masses today. Envelopes are available at the back of all churches. Your generosity means that missionaries can continue to share the love of God with some of the world's most marginalised and vulnerable people. The bishops of Ireland have published a pastoral letter, 100,000 Welcomes, to welcome migrants to Ireland. It discusses how we, as Christians, have a responsibility to respond to the key question of immigration across our island and the world. Copies of the pastoral letter are available from catholicbishops.ie. Various parish pastoral council or PPC meetings are taking place in the coming week across the diocese with a focus on recruitment drives. Please consider joining your local PPC if you wish to contribute towards keeping your church functioning into the future. Coffee mornings continue to take place across the diocese to raise money for Kerry Hospice. Listowel Parish is looking for Mass readers. Both adults and children are welcome. They are especially interested in post-primary students willing to read during the month of November. Contact listowel at dioceseofkerry.ie to volunteer. Work has commenced on the 2024 Ballydesmond Chronicle. All community contributions are welcome at ballydesmondchronicle@gmail.com. The closing date is Friday 1st of November. The Adrie Goldman's group has resumed meetings, which are held on Thursday evenings from 8 p.m. with a goal towards creating pieces for their annual Christmas gathering. Ord Coorum Day Centre needs volunteer drivers with 2 hours to spare a week to drive housebound people to the centre. Contact Paul Joseph Carr at iCloud.com. The presentation window for Archangel Michael at St. Vincent's Chapel has now been restored. Thank you to everyone who helped with the campaign so far. The side windows behind the altar are still to be done if anyone wishes to donate. Dark evenings are fast approaching and it is essential to wear high-vis jackets, even in built-up areas. Cyclists are reminded to check all lights are in working order as well as front and back reflectors. Everybody has a part to play in making our roads safer for everyone. All the following events are happening today, Sunday. Bunscoil Naomh Eoghan Báiste is having its first communion enrolment mass at 10 a.m. at Séipéal Naomh Eoghan Báiste Lisboa. Irish Mass at St. John's will be recorded for Radio na Gaeltachta and broadcast at 11 a.m. The Gaelscoil confirmation candidates will also have their ceremony of commitment at that Mass. There is a special wedding anniversary Mass at 11:30 a.m. in St. Joseph's Church Rathmore. This celebration is for couples who are living or were married in the parish. At this Mass, you will be invited to renew your marriage vows and to have this special occasion honoured by all in the community. A coffee morning is taking place after Mass at the Inch Community Centre. There will be a day of prayer for healing at Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Scarty Glen at 2:30 p.m. Deacon Tady O'Connor and his team will lead the day and conclude with an individual blessing and a benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament. The annual Paul and Afrin will be celebrated in Killaclohan Woods at 3 p.m. In the event of poor weather, Mass will be celebrated instead in the Sacred Heart Church, Milltown. The Irie's Playground Ball Run and Barbecue is being held today. Brosna Parish Hall is having an Older Persons Afternoon from 2 to 5 p.m. Everyone is welcome to have a cuppa while local musicians play some tunes and lead a sing-along. Ballyfinan Hall celebrates the 40th anniversary of its opening at 2 p.m. There will be prayer service and blessings, followed by refreshments, music and children's entertainment. They will have photographs, minute books and hall memorabilia on display as well. Abbey Dorney National School Parents Association will be hosting a Halloween celebration in the community hall from 2 to 4 p.m. There will be lots of fun and games and activities for children all afternoon. Tomorrow Monday, the Kilcommon Parish Pastoral Council meeting is taking place in Kilcommon at 7:30 p.m. On Tuesday, Alahee's Community Care Group is meeting at O'Neill's Bar and then on to Mass at 12:30. They look forward to welcoming parishioners. On Wednesday, a Parish Pastoral Council meeting is taking place at Coolvara Pastoral Centre, Ardfert, at 8 p.m. The Castle Island Community Centre is having its annual general meeting at 8 p.m. On Thursday, the Inch and Aunascall First Responders Group is having a bingo fundraiser to purchase new defibrillators. This will take place at 7:30 p.m. At 7 p.m. in Ardfert Church, the next evening of devotions for Padre Pio will take place. On Friday, Mill Street Gramophone Circle presentation by Paddy Murphy Tulloch will take place at 8:15 p.m. in the Canon O'Donovan Mill Street Daycare Centre. Glorglen History and Folklore Society presents the inaugural Sean O'Sullivan Memorial Lecture in the CYMS Hall at 7:30 p.m. when Father Tom Looney will speak on Killorglan and Glenbeigh's invincible Father Tom Jones, priest and handball champion. On Saturday, a coffee morning is taking place at Tarbert Bridewell.
Thank you, Gráinne. Next up, we talk about the Synod in Rome.
Eamon Fitzgibbon, thank you very much for joining me on Horizons.
You're very welcome, David. Delighted to be with you.
So I understand you're an expert on the Synod. Can you tell me what is the Synod?
Okay, first of all, I'm not sure where I use the word expert. Back in 2021, Pope Francis called a synod on synodality. Now, there have been many synods down through the years, but this particular synod, Universal Synod of the Church, is focusing on the theme of synodality itself. And a lot of people have wondered, well, what does that mean? How are we to understand that? Really, it's how we operate as church, the way we work. It's a way of being church, a synodal way. The word itself means journeying together, so it has something about that sense of journey and walking together. But it influences every aspect of church life. So we've been engaged in that process here in Ireland, but also throughout the world for the last number of years, since 2021. Coincidentally, or maybe God incidentally, our own Episcopal Conference also announced back in spring 21 that the Irish Church would embark on a synodal pathway. And then Pope Francis announced a universal synod on synodality. So we've been integrating those two processes, bringing them together and trying to progress that. At the moment, as we speak in Rome, the gathering of the Synod is taking place, 370 or so delegates from all over the world, bishops, and Pope Francis has also included lay people, women and men, to be present and to have voting rights at the Synod. That's quite a change. But as I say, it's about how we work and the way we work. They gathered last October in Rome. They're gathering again this month of October. We have two bishops from Ireland there, Bishop Alan McGuckian from Down and Connor, my own bishop, Bishop Brendan Leahy from Limerick. So they're in the middle of the Synod in Rome at the minute. But we've been very involved throughout the country in Ireland, feeding into that process and engaging with that process in our diocese and in various faith communities, parishes, etc.
Very interesting. So our own Bishop Ray recently put out a pastoral letter talking about a mapping exercise he wanted to undertake where we involve more lay people in the logistical side of things to sort of take the pressure off of the priests. This synod, is this in any way similar to that sort of local level mapping exercise?
Yeah, I think it's entirely congruent. Essentially, the synod on synodality, the universal synod that Pope Francis called, the first phase of that was what was called a diocesan phase. And Pope Francis essentially asked the church throughout the world to listen and consult with people. It was probably the widest consultation of humanity ever to take place. And a number of subsequent pieces of consultation, listening and feedback have taken place since then. But the most recent one focused on the issue of what's called core responsibility. And core responsibility in the church is really interesting. Back in the day, Pope John Paul emphasized a lot on collaboration, that lay people and priests, the ordained and the priesthood of the faithful, we need to be collaborating together, and that sense of working together. Now, I think the outworking of that was often that people who said they were collaborating were really saw themselves as helping the priest. So then Pope Benedict, more recently, he pushed that further. He said, really, it's not so much just about collaboration, it's about core responsibility. And of course, that changes the dynamic. Now it's no longer helping the priest, because when you're helping the priest, really, it's his job and we're helping him, because maybe there are fewer of them around or they're getting elderly or whatever the reason might be. But if we're core responsible, it's my job too. So there's that sense of a shared mission, a shared task for which we're all co-responsible. We bring our own particular gifts and talents and charisms. So what Bishop Ray is doing at the moment with the mapping exercise and with his pastoral letter, he's really, I think, emphasizing the need for the church in Ireland today to take seriously the fact that it is our baptismal call that invites us to take on roles of responsibility and ministry and leadership. And lay participation, lay involvement is at the very heart of that. So yeah, you're right, David, they're absolutely linked.
It's very interesting that you said that the attendees of the synod have voting rights. Is this some kind of a democratic process?
Essentially, no, it's not to be equated with a democratic process, even though sometimes the critics, and there are critics of the synodal way that Pope Francis is trying to develop. And one of the criticisms that's thrown at it is that, oh, this is a democratic way of working, or you're asking us to move into a democratic way of working. I'd say it's more about democratization than democracy, but it's really about ensuring that people have a say, that their voice will be heard, that they are consulted, that consensus can be reached. And then there is that whole question around decision making and decision taking. So ultimately, the synod is a consultative body to Pope Francis. They use the phrase sometimes with con Petro et sub Petro, that with Peter and under Peter. So that sense of Pope Francis has the ultimate decision to make, but he does so in consultation with and through listening to the voice of the church throughout the world, which happened with the diocesan phase, the very beginning of the process. And now these days, as they progress that at the gathering in Rome itself.
So at the synod then, if they're not explicitly voting on things, is it more like opinion polls on where they'd like to see things going?
What they will be voting on are the various issues that arise. They will be agreeing a final text that is approved by the synod floor, so that that text will need to be agreed across the floor. So the same thing happened actually at the Second Vatican Council. recently we celebrated the feast day of John the 23rd, who called that council. But again, there was voting there to agree on the final documents, to agree on how we want to communicate and express what we're about. And this time it will be how we communicate and express what it means to be a synodal church, and how can we promote synodality throughout every level of the church. This is not about really about what's happening in Rome. It's about what's happening in each of our local communities, our parishes, our half parishes, our small church communities. Can we move more and more towards a synodal way of working, a way that reflects who we are as church, a people journeying together in faith, guided by the Spirit.
One other thing I was wondering about, you said a big part of this is agreeing on the specific sort of democratically decided text. Is that text then in the local language Italian or the historic language Latin?
At the Synod in Rome at the moment, I mean, obviously you have people from all over the world. They're essentially working through five languages. But the principal languages that they work through are English and Italian. The text will first of all be drawn up in Italian, and then it'll be translated into all the languages around the world where the Catholic Church is present, to communicate that to them. And then after each and every synod, there is a document produced by the Vatican, and that will probably come maybe 6 months' time or so. We'd be expecting that document to be produced.
That's interesting then, that the people who are deciding on the text will also likely be some of the people translating the text, because I know sometimes in the translation process, original meaning can be lost. Like in Irish, we call foxes Madrarua, but Madrarua doesn't mean fox. Madrarua means the red hound, which it's got much more texture to it. So I like that much more.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really important. I think translation is really important because that often determines how something is interpreted locally on the ground. So they will be very careful working out and agreeing a text, and also then agreeing how that is to be translated as well. I should have mentioned that along with those who are present at the Synod with voting rights, there are also what are called experts, periti, who are present as theological experts, canon law experts, and they're also advising. And then they also form part of the writing group at the end of the various sessions, who write up reports on those and present them back to see have they captured correctly what has been said. And along with the two bishops from Ireland who are present, Eamon Conway, a former colleague of mine in Mary Immaculate College, now working in Notre Dame in Australia, is there as a theological advisor. And similarly, Sister Mary Barron is there representing the religious communities from around the world. She also is Irish. So delighted to say we've quite an Irish presence there in Rome and shaping this and involved in this.
Fantastic. Eamon, thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Delighted to be with you.
After the break, we talk about our new lay pastoral leaders.